Are you overwhelmed by the amount of stuff in your house?
This is Retirement Revealed, where Jeremy Kyle and his guests guide you towards making smarter retirement, investment, and tax planning decisions.
Welcome to Retirement Revealed. I'm your host, Jeremy Kyle, and we're here to turn your retirement savings into retirement income. Today, we're talking with Marnie Jamieson about getting rid of the clutter so you can create your best life. Marnie, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
You got it. And tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, gosh. Well, I am a journalist, and I've been writing books and columns for years about living a better life. And I really just chase what I want to know. It's not that I'm an expert. It's just my journalism credentials allow me to tap into some really bright minds and learn all the things that I'm curious about, test drive them a little bit, and then pass them along to my readers. So that's what keeps me going and keeps me engaged. I'm curious about that. I want to live a great life.
Yeah. Well, I think curiosity is a good trait for journalism. And so and another trait too is you like to share, and you shared your thoughts, your wisdom, the things you've learned from the people you're interviewing. This is your seventh book now, you told me?
Yes, it is, somehow.
Yeah, well, that's great. Yeah, and the book that got us introduced, it's called Right Sizing Today to Create Your Best Life Tomorrow. So what inspired you to write that book?
So, you know, a little bit of background to get us to that point. I've been writing a syndicated column that's run in papers for 20 or so years. And I started writing a series of columns back in 2013 about downsizing my parents' house. They were getting up in years. They were actually 89. And they, you know, had a house full of stuff, and they moved into assisted living. And I lived in Florida. They lived in Orange County, California. And my brother was in charge of being the executor of their affairs and helping them move out. But I was in charge of the house, of the family home. I thought, no problem. I'll just come in and take care of business. And it was the most emotionally draining experience I think I've ever been through in my life. And I've been through a few. So I had to learn how to get rid of their things respectfully and be good stewards of their things and not give away things that were worth a lot or also emotional value. It's a lot to go through. So I wrote a book, Downsizing the Family Home. And that really set me on this trajectory of how to get rid of stuff, how to deal with our stuff and our parents' stuff. And then I had a sequel to that. In 2016, I got remarried. And after going through a divorce, I married a widower who had a house full of stuff. And I had a house full of stuff that was curated now because I had taken the stuff I wanted. And I thought all my stuff was perfect, but he liked his stuff too. And, you know, one house plus one house has to equal one house. So we each had to get rid of half a house or not live happily ever after. So I wrote Downsizing the Blended Home When Two Houses Become One. So if that weren't enough, I then had a publisher reach out to me and said, hey, Marnie, what do we do with everything? And this might be of real interest to your readers. We came up with a book title, which is actually the book, What to Do with Everything You Own to Leave the Legacy You Want. So Everything you have has financial value, but how do you monetize that and make sure it goes to the corner pocket? If you want it to go to your grandchildren or your children or your school or your church or whatever cause you like, that is how to make a meaningful legacy based on your things so they don't just end up in the dumpster. And then all of this was really depressing, aging, dying, you know, these things were like, oh, this is not what I want to think about. So I want, as I got up for over the 55 mark, I wanted to make sure that I was going to live the best life. And I came up with Right Size Today to Live Your Best Life Tomorrow. And that is really when you get past that freedom threshold, when the kids are out of the nest, when you don't have to commute to work, when you're really, you know, getting a vision on your retirement. Just look at your house, look around you and ask yourself, is this the best place for me, both geographically and actually the physical house? And I'll pause to let you ask some questions, but that's what got me on this journey of right sizing and really thinking through what is going to be the best part. How can I make my rest of my years the best?
Yeah, like I said, it's an interesting journey how you got there. And of course, it came from a personal story. So thanks for sharing both those personal stories. Definitely your readers have benefited from your experiences that way. But I noticed that you call the new book Right Sizing and the first two books were Downsizing. What was that intentional? Is there a specific difference between the two?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, we don't get writers don't get to name their books. I did get lucky with this one and the one before, but my first two books were named by the publisher and they know what people search for. So downsizing was a catchy term and people want to look for books on downsizing. I had a really stupid title. My title was, But It Was Moms. And so glad it didn't happen. Get to be the title, but they knew, the publishers knew what sells books. And certainly those have been really great sellers, but I never liked the term downsizing because it feels like a demotion. And I always felt that this is getting it right. This is a course correction. This is a lifestyle shift. And I like to say we should be living with what we need, use, and love and no more and no less our whole life long. We should be living in the house at the right size, in the place that's the right place. And it's something that needs constant revisiting and thoughtfulness and intentionalism. And so downsizing is just a popular term, but I have now coined it. And I actually have a third term that I really would like to use, and it's called bright sizing. So that's what I probably am going to do in my next book.
All right. Well, you hinted there. You got to tell us, what is bright sizing?
Oh, well, bright sizing is getting it all right. It's not just bright sizing, but one step beyond, which is doing the really smart thing for the rest of your life. And a lot of people just get really complacent. We can talk about what holds people back, but I'm all for busting through that recalcitrant nature people have of not wanting to move forward or not wanting to embrace the possible and making it happen.
Yeah,
it is, that's bright sizing.
I believe that. And I wonder, I was reading your blog and I saw a great quote you had in there. You've got a good way with words. You said a little bit of great beats a lot of mediocre. Tell me about that.
So the last third of Right Size Today involves making sure that once you do find that great size house in the perfect place for you, that you don't fill it up with a bunch of junk. And a lot of the reasons our houses are overstuffed and cluttered is because we don't know how to buy well the first time. So I actually wanted to do a book called Buy It Right the First Time, but it ended up morphing into this book. But anyway, I believe that when you don't know how to buy steak knives, you don't know how to buy sheets, you don't know how to buy soap, you don't know how to buy towels, you don't know how to buy upholstered furniture, you end up with mediocrity and you keep buying it again and your cupboards get stuffed with sheets that pill or they don't breathe or they're hot or they don't fit. And you just keep buying more because you don't know what you're doing. So this is a dive into how to get it right, what to look for, the properties, not so much the brands, in the things that we use every day, the wine glasses, that you know, so they don't get cloudy, things like that. So how, you know, that one kitchen knife you're going to go to every time. So your kitchen and your home, I go through every room in the house, is filled with quality and not clutter, because you A, know what to purchase, and B, you know what to get rid of based on this filter of understanding what makes great things great.
Yeah, and the getting rid of part is definitely, I'm guessing that's the tougher part than buying the stuff well the first time. I'm just thinking through of some different emotions I've heard from people, seen from people. Something you mentioned on your blog, I've seen it before, where the kids don't want your stuff. You know, that's that's very nice and blunt, but I think it's true. How did that work out for you with your parents, right? You went through and you helped downsize at the time your parents' home. And I imagine, just tell me more about that.
Super hard. You know, fortunately my parents were still alive and they were, I was doing this with their blessing. My mom had some dementia, but my dad was quite on top of things. And he was really curious about different things. And I could ask him like, is this really important or what do I need to know? And not everybody gets that benefit. So if you can have that conversation with your elderly relatives before you're in a position of making these game time decisions, that's really helpful. Now, again, I was living in Florida. There were so many things, and this was the home I grew up in, the only home I knew. They lived in it for 50 years. Mm-hmm. And I couldn't put things in the overhead bin and take them with me. There were some things I did have shipped, but there was, you know, I had a full house and I couldn't take all their things. And there were so many things I wanted to take. So I was able to divest those things and sell some things that helped them. The whole point was to sell the home to fund their long-term care. So it was able to take the home, to sell the home, which had to be empty. And then all the contents in it, we had an estate sale, and knowing that it had a brighter purpose to continue to build their nest egg and give them comfort and security in their final stage was really helpful to me and motivating to me to let things go. Not to say I didn't keep certain things, and my brother did too. He's more of a minimalist even than I am, but I say keep the pearls and not the piano. You know, take the little stuff that's meaningful and it's a nice connection device, but let the other things go.
Yeah, I love that. When I wrote that down, keep the pearls and not the piano. I gotta say, my grandma did this well, where she has 5 kids, and I think it helped a little bit. She had a good attitude about it, but she also moved a few times, and so every time you move the same thing a few times, you probably think of, why am I doing this? But she was telling them years ahead of time, you know, you will get this, and this person will get that. She even had like note tags on the back of the in the back of the painting, or the the back of the important mementos of who gets what. And she just passed in the past year, and I think that part of it, the kind of divvying up of the stuff, and you know, these remembrances, right? You've kind of placed your value of mom into this, you know, thing you're now holding, which is, you know, good and meaningful, but is also helpful the way that she kind of had done it. There wasn't any, or at least many, conflicts that I could tell from kind of someone observing.
That. I wish more would do that. Yeah,
yeah,
that's
she did.
Wonderful.
That was one of the best gifts she gave her kids at the end, was doing that, which is good. Well, we're
you
talking
said something
about
really yes, important. I didn't mean to interrupt, but it left you an important gift.
Yes.
What you do today is a gift to the next generation. Don't leave them an avalanche of your stuff. Have it thoughtfully. If, for instance, in my books, I talk about, if you have a wonderful collection of, I don't know, Pez dispensers, whatever it is you're into, and it might be worth lots of money, but they're going to go, oh, what is he doing? There was grandpa with his stupid collection, and toss it. So if you can put notes and say, give this to this collector to sell, it'll, you know, help out the next generation. And it is a huge gift to them to keep your affairs in order. And it's not just about the money part. That's almost the easy part. The stuff is what's going to take them down. So I love that she left notes. I love that she asked. And I love that the grandchildren stepped in and said, told her what she wanted. And the rest can liquidate and go into their respective accounts, or however she wants to handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was a success story, but you probably have a few more success stories than even my one here. Tell me about some people that, not towards the end of life, but, like you said, reaching 55, 60, that you have this time of life where, the kids aren't in the house. Tell me some ideas about, right sizing and how to go about doing that.
So I love this one story that I have in What to Do with Everything book. It's, a couple who live in New Mexico. They met as high school teachers, and they got married right out of high school, and then they wanted to travel, and they bought a really cheap car in Europe, and like for no money, and they traveled around, and they went to a lot of museums on a student budget. And anyway, they wound up getting married. Their love of art continued. They became very active in the Albuquerque Museum of Art, and they never had children. They have some nieces and nephews that they said didn't really deserve much of their things. I'm like, okay. And they have an executor who, when they die, he's going to liquidate everything from the cars to the spatulas. 100% of what they own will go to the museum, and they have it. And they're living with everything they love. They're not selling anything off. But when that day comes, everything is going to benefit the museum, which is the place where their heart is. And they say they go there and have lunch now and have a glass of wine and look around and say, someday we're going to really help this place. So yeah. I love that story. It's thoughtful. And they're not people of great means, but they have thought it through. And that's a wonderful gift to the museum and to the future.
Yeah. And of course, that's a bit of kind of end of life planning. I'm thinking too of the people that are, you know, going through of, you know, middle life, right? Your kids just moved out, or maybe your kids are in high school and things like that. How do you go about really deciding to make this almost mind shift change, right? I think a lot of it is, not just the emotional. It's maybe emotional, I guess, as you get older yourself, or maybe the parents get older. But I think sometimes the emotion going into it is this like sunk cost fallacy, is what the economists say. Like, well, I bought it. Or it's also something called the endowment effect. All these financial terms where, well, if I own it, it's worth $100, but you know, I wouldn't go buy it for $100. But the fact that I own it makes it more valuable. How do you change your mind here to kind of get past either this this idea of, well, I already paid for it, I might use it, you know, the things that are maybe cluttering up our lives that way?
Well, I'd like to talk about taking it to a higher level, which will then answer that problem. And that is, like, stop thinking about, you know, your sideboard and think about your life. And that's what I try to ask people to do in Right Size Today. And there's actually questionnaires, and there's a data-driven tool. And I'm the last person to do data-driven anything, but this, you don't have to multiply higher than five. And it actually will tell you where your values lie and what matters to you, and help you visualize your best life. And there are a lot of retirement publications out there that say the best places to retire, best cities, best houses, whatever. And that's all wonderful, but I don't know, Jeremy, I'm not average. You're not average. I'm sure none of our readers or listeners here are average. So I'm not, that's interesting, but it may not be for me. I might want a view of the horses where you want to be able to walk to nightlife. So what is important to you? Is it important to be near your family? Is it important to be near culture or whatever, on the golf course, on the lake? And then you figure out where is this place? And then you start creating a vision. And then in what kind of housing? Do I want a lock and go townhouse? Do I want a 5-bedroom home where all the grandchildren can come? It's different for everyone. So think about what it is you want, visualize, and then think about what it will take to get there. And then your furniture should become very secondary. All your stuff should not stand in the way of you in a better life. So you have to get real about value. It's like a car. The minute you drive it off the lot, that kind of value goes quickly down. And you can look it up on, you know, for a reality check on Facebook Marketplace or on Craigslist, and see what the sold price goes for, not the asking price, and get a really good sense of what it is and is not worth. And I just want people to take a deep breath and, you know, take those smelling salts out and get over it and move on.
Yeah, that's maybe a part of it. It seems a bit, I'd call it a bit tough love, but at the same time, it's reality. And you've got examples and, like I said, some worksheets to go through. Here's how you can go through it, because it's either going to go past it, or you're not going to go past it. And going past it is probably the preferred method. And of course, if you're focused on just the stuff, right? This is the whole forest for the trees thing. If you focus on just the stuff in front of you, but not the life you want to live beyond it, then you just can't see beyond that. So you've got to focus. That's why you answered it to say, let's go to the high level. Let's go with what you're trying to do and trying to live, as opposed to, you know, what do I do with this stuff? Okay, well, what do I want to do? And then, okay, then the stuff is the secondary piece of it.
I like to say, keep your eye on the ball. Get a vision of what you're looking for, and then get rid of and take care of everything that stands in the way of you and that vision.
Right.
Because their short-sightedness will keep you locked and tethered in place, and have a very high chance of keeping you from your best life.
Yep. Well, you mentioned a bit about kind of deciding where to live. And I think part of that is, do I buy a new place or do I kind of renovate my current place? How should we approach or decide kind of that decision?
Yeah. So I like to define right sizing as creating or moving to a home that is the right physical, emotional, social, and financial fit for you today and moving forward. That's a lot to unpack, but you think about how much physical house you need. How big should it be? Think about the emotional. Are you near your family? Or 7% of people want to move away from their family. So, you know, I'm not saying any more about that, but, you know, it's not a given. The social part, your friend base, your church, your political values, those sorts of things, are they getting fed? Are they being supported? And certainly financially, what is going to make sure that your finances are under control and the house supports you, you're not busy supporting it. So all those things have to click. And the chances of it being working for the house that you bought 15 years ago when the kids were in school and you had your career nearby is probably low. But it could be you are in the right place, and it could be that you can create that house to be your long-term house. But you have to step back and really ask that question. It's a hard question because you want to kind of banish any thought of it's too much trouble. But I like to say, Jeremy, the minute I hear people say, oh, it's too much trouble, I hear them shutting down, shutting off the best that could be in their life. So, you know, move forward through those obstacles.
Yeah, I like that. Let's move forward. I'm in Wisconsin. You might not know that the slogan for Wisconsin is forward, and so here we are. Move forward. I think is a good way to go. Wisconsin was on the right side of the to figure
there
that
you
one.
go. I
You
like
know,
it.
move forward is a good term you've got. An interesting thing about maybe doing the right thing or things that are kind of in the way. It's here's a funny one. Tell me if you come across this. Is I'll talk to people who are in their, 60s, 70s, and they say, I wish I could stay at home, but I just can't do the lawn or the snow anymore. So I've got to move to a condo. And you know, of course, they're going to charge me like $250 or $300 a month to do that kind of stuff. But then they do it. And I'm thinking, it probably costs you less than $250 or $300 a month if you just stayed in the home where you want it to be. And paid somebody to do the lawn in the snow. So it's interesting these mindsets that we get into where people feel like they have to make a switch in order to get the thing that they want. So the thing that they want is I want to have a home, but I can't do the lawn in the snow anymore. So I have to move to the condo. And then here I am giving up my home that I love. Like, do you really have to give up the home that you love? You know, go ahead and spend the same amount of money on the lawn and snow care, right?
As long as it's not taking you down and you run the numbers and it makes more financial sense to stay put. But some people are also worried about their security as they get older. Maybe they've become widowed or widowed, and they don't feel as secure in the house. Maybe they want to just have less to oversee because, yeah, you might be paying someone to handle those things, but you don't have to worry about the gardener who broke this or who cut that pipe or who didn't show up or, you feel it's more responsibility. So the less you have, the less you have to pay to maintain, the less you have to think about in terms of storing, the less real estate you have to manage and less you have to insure. So these are all factors, but I like my home and I don't see myself moving out for a long time. And it's important to think it through before you pull the rug out from under yourself. That said, and you can't probably move back to your original home, but I have had people, and I talk about the center section of my book, kind of going backwards. The last section is buy it right. The middle section is how they did it. So couples that actually made a change and right-sized, some didn't stick the landing. They moved, but they didn't like where they moved to. They got it wrong. There was the right decision to move, but they didn't move to the right place. So they fixed that. And, you have to give yourself permission to course correct if you need to. But thinking it through up front and getting pretty sure, I'd like to say I like to be 80% sure in moving than 100% sure in thinking about it. Right.
Yep. So yep. That's
right. Keep going. Move on, right? Move forward.
Move forward. Good. Well, speaking of yourself and moving forward, how do you envision your retirement?
Oh my goodness. Well, my husband and I made a fun little ploy this last, just a couple months ago. We bought a beach condo. I live in Central Florida, so it's about an hour and 15 minutes to either coast. And I grew up on the Southern California beaches. And the beach speaks to me, and we bought a condo in New Smyrna Beach. It's on the Atlantic. You can walk right out, and it's a small place, and we're in an Airbnb to get some income going. But I'm literally sticking my toe in the water to see if that's where I'd want to be in the long term. But I don't know. I like where I live now too. So do we downsize here and have two places? Do we size up there and live on the beach? We'll find out.
Yeah,
but I'm fortunate in that with writing, I can take it anywhere. So I'm in a good position.
Yeah, that's fortunate. And I like how you mentioned you're sticking your toe in the water because we had on Fritz Gilbert just recently who had that exact recommendation. So he writes the Retirement Manifesto. He's written a book, Keys to Successful Retirement. And what he and his wife had done, they were considering, let's move into the mountains of Georgia, like the Southern Appalachian mountains. And they went there and visited, and they bought a place while they were still working. So they kind of had a similar mindset. I've seen some people where they retire this month, they move next month, and they bought a house. I'm thinking, try it out and, get an apartment at least first. But I think you've got the right mindset of just try it out, stick your toe in the water, and you've got this flexibility. Some people have the thought of this is exactly how it's going to be. And then they feel as if deviating from the plan is a failure. And you're just going into it with the flexible. Let's try it out. See if I like this place. See if I like having two places. Do I need to go down to one in one area or the other? So that's we're two in a row here of folks saying that's the way to do it. So you're on the right
well,
track.
I swerved into the right move somehow, but that seemed to fit as it for the time being anyway. Yeah, but I think what you're bringing up is something that I think is so important, and that is to be nimble.
Yes.
To really be able to take a good look at where you are now and be flexible. Don't let fear of change and your complacency and your furniture hold you down. Be able to just see past it and move past it. And if you don't get it quite right, it's okay to change. My brother and his wife just left California, where he's been his whole life. They retired and moved to, of all places, Michigan, Midland, mm-hmm. Michigan. And they're renting. They're looking for a house, but they are not done. They're going to live there a full year before it's a pretty big change. And I mm-hmm. think they're doing the right thing.
Yeah,
it does mean two moves. It's a big hassle, but they're not going to commit.
That'll help them focus and get rid of some of the stuff you don't really need the second time. Why bother moving it the second time? I'm going to say that just to sum up what I've learned so far is that even though you call the book Right Sizing Today to Create Your Best Life Tomorrow, it's a bit more about create your best life tomorrow, which then allows you to right size today, right? If you've got that end in mind, that gives you that drive, that focus to say, okay, well, this is why I am going about downsizing, decluttering, right sizing, whichever way you want to go.
That's a good summary.
All right, I'll take it. We straight from the writer's mouth. I've been paying attention. This is good. Well, I've got one more question for you, Marnie. Before that, tell us, what's the best way to reach out to you?
Oh, well, certainly reach out by email, marnie@marniejamison.com, which is also marniejamison.com is my website. Marnie with no E, Jamison with no I. And I love to get responses. Sign on to my blog. It's free. It's the column 2 weeks after it runs in the paper. If you don't get it in your local paper, shame on them. But I post it on my make it my blog every 2 weeks, so you can keep up with all my antics there.
Yeah, and I've been reading your blog a bit. I really definitely have enjoyed it. I'll put a link to that in the show notes. I'm also going to put a link to the book so you can buy Marnie's book. Although I like to give away books on my podcast. So the first three people who email me podcast@kylefp.com, I will mail out to you then Right Sizing Today to Create Your Best Life Tomorrow. So be one of the first three to do that. The rest, you'll have the link to buy it on there, which would be good. Final question, Marnie, tell us something about yourself that few people know about. And remember, this podcast is rated clean.
Well, when I was a very little girl and I was 3 months old, I lived in France and I learned how to speak French, and I still speak French, and I'm a member of Alliance Française, and I enjoy the Francophile life.
Oh, that's fun. And of course, maybe that's why you went to the East Coast, so that you could be closer to France to visit.
A little shorter plane ride. Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Awesome. Well, thanks for coming on the show. You've definitely shared a lot about decluttering, downsizing, and especially the new words that are better, right sizing, and even better, bright sizing. Yes,
that's right.
Well, thank you, Marnie. And thank you for listening to the Retirement Reveal podcast. We believe if you know more about your money, you will feel better about your money, and we will make better money decisions.
This was another great episode of the Retirement Revealed podcast. Click on the subscribe button below to automatically get our latest episodes. If you liked our show and want even more, please give us a rating and a review at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. We would love to hear from you. Please go to retirement-revealed.com to learn more and send us your questions and feedback. The information covered and posted represents the views and opinions of the guests and does not necessarily represent the views or opinions of Kyle Financial Partners, Thrivent, or its affiliates. The guests are not affiliated with or endorsed by Thrivent Advisor Network. Kyle Financial Partners does not provide legal, accounting, or tax advice. Consult your attorney or tax professional. Representatives have general knowledge of the Social Security tenets. For details on your situation, contact the Social Security Administration. Kyle Financial Partners is part of the Thrivent Advisor Network, a registered investment advisor. The content has been made available for informational and educational purposes only. The content is not intended to be a substitute for professional investment advice. Always seek the advice of your financial advisor or other qualified financial service provider with any questions you may have with your investment planning. Advisory Persons of Thriven provide advisory services under a doing business as name or may have their own legal business entities. However, advisory services are engaged exclusively through Thrivent Advisor Network, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Kyle Financial Partners and Thrivent Advisor Network, LLC, are not affiliated companies. Information in this message is for the intended recipients only. Please visit our website, www.kylefp.com, for important disclosures.